thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Thank you, Dom.
Here's John Williams.
This is John Williams. We are here. Weekdays, 1 to 3, and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, we also do a podcast. It's called The Mincing Rascals, and that's where a bunch of us rascals sit around and mince. We talk about current events. We post that on Thursdays on social media on WGN King. John, I'm not king yet. I want to be someday. I think things will go a lot more smoothly, at least for me, if that ever happens. WGN King John on social media. Put some stuff up on Facebook. Over the weekend, I tweeted a picture from Pride. A couple points about all of that in just a minute. First, I just wanted to congratulate Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy and also Congressman Darren LaHood. Darren is from the 18th Congressional District down in Peoria and Bloomington, all the way over to Iowa. He's a terrific guy. He is a Republican. I used to live in his district. I used to live across the street, in fact, for the guy his dad worked for, and that was Congressman Bob Michael. So there's Darren LaHood, the Republican, and he comes up to the Chicago area at the John Marshall School of Law downtown, right across from Millennium Park. And the congressman from Peoria is there with Raja Krishnamoorthy from the 8th Congressional District, the Northwest Suburbs. Raj, of course, is a Democrat. So here we have congresspeople doing town hall meetings, which congresspeople don't like to do these days. Republicans don't want to meet their constituents face to face. There are some Democrats who don't like what they're facing out there. But these two guys not only will do that, but they will do so on the other guy's turf. Krishnamoorthy went down to conservative Central Illinois and sat there and espoused his views for no purpose, because they ain't going to vote for him. They can't, other than to have a civil conversation with an opponent on stage, and you get to ask questions. I can't overstate how I think important that is, because too many congresspeople facing wrath from their constituents, they're either not conservative enough or liberal enough, they support the president too much or not enough, whatever, they just don't want to do it anymore. And they take the easy road and they say, well, why don't you mail questions in? Or you can watch my live stream. No, you got to be on stage. We got to be able to talk to you. And we got to be able to have TV cameras there. Channel 5 was there. Props to Marianne Ahern and the gang over at NBC 5. They'll probably have a story about that, probably cut me out, but that's okay. So then they did it in Peoria, and now here comes LaHood from Peoria up to Raj's home turf. And by the way, LaHood from downstate Illinois is a graduate of the John Marshall School of Law. He's also a five-time marathoner. There's Krishnamoorthy, who actually spent time in Peoria, our local Democrat, but he spent time in Peoria as a student. He got a degree in mechanical engineering there. No, wait. His dad was a professor of engineering. He got his degree in mechanical engineering from Princeton and then went on to the Harvard Law School. And LaHood's resume is stellar, too. Great education, great public and private service, and now both of them are representatives in Congress. And so the first question was about the immigration debate. I said, is the no-tolerance policy, what do you make of that? And they both spoke about it. It's funny because you could just see there would come moments where either of them would say something and a good host like me would say, now, wait a minute. What do you mean? And then they would have engaged me and it would have been maybe a little more electric. But we got a lot of that anyway. What we don't have is one guy taking his turn for about a minute or three. And then the other guy saying, well, I agree or disagree with that. And here's why, for about a minute or three. The areas that people seem to be most interested in the crowd, and there was a nice crowd there. Some of them were lobbyists. Some of them had, you know, an interest in the issues that might come up, and others were just citizens. Some were members of the media. Some were law students. But the areas that the people were most interested in were the power that Donald Trump seems to be amassing, that he's more and more like a dictator, said some of them. And what about that? And climate change was a surprisingly big interest for the group. They were also interested in agriculture, and why not? Trade was a big topic, and the questions that the crowd sent in. About that, the two issues, the two congresspeople were very similar. It was interesting, right? The downstate congressman, the Republican, LaHood, said that he doesn't like these unilateral, we should be more multinational in our trade relations. He said that when you consider all the corn and beans we sell to Mexico, Canada, and the rest of the world, when you consider all of the Caterpillar tractors that come out of Peoria, and we sell those, more than half of them, to people, to companies outside the United States. Yeah, this tariff barrier stuff is bad for business in Illinois. LaHood did not speak harshly of the president, though. He said, I wish he wouldn't use that rhetoric on Twitter. It was a really interesting conversation. I presume that the audio of all of it will be posted on their web pages. They're sending the audio for me, to me, and I'll be able to post and use some of it as well. But at the end of the day, congratulations and thanks to both of them. I know the crowd was very appreciative there. Dave Bender, the president and CEO of the, what was it again? The American Council of Engineering Companies was there. And David Holmquist was there. Citizens Climate Lobby. There was somebody there from just a bunch of different constituent groups and then just some average citizens. I'm glad they did that. Went to the Pride Fest over the weekend. Pride Fest, that was 2 weekends ago. Sunday was the Pride Parade. Violetta, you weren't there. Elif, you were there. Elif marched with the WGN radio float, if I'm not mistaken, right? You marched with the float? Were you riding or were you walking with the station's float?
Both. I did a little bit of both.
Were you guys throwing out tchotchkes?
We were throwing out the beads, of course, and some rainbow-colored wristbands that said Pride on them, and also some nondescript candy.
What's nondescript candy mean?
Actually, they were Tootsie Rolls, but they were just...
Not an official sponsor.
Sure, yeah.
Were they like Tootsie Rolls or were they Tootsie Rolls?
They were Tootsie Rolls.
So for some reason, you don't want to say the words Tootsie Rolls on the
No, word. That's not it.
So they...
I just don't like Tootsie Rolls, that's all.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
I don't want to offend them, so...
Well, here we are.
Well,
and
it's too late for that.
And here we are.
Call them a nondescript candy?
They're Tootsie Rolls, for God's sakes.
Who doesn't like Tootsie Rolls?
They stick to your teeth.
They certainly
but that's
do.
The fun part.
So anyway, the Pride Parade.
Yeah.
So there they were throwing out nondescript candy, and everybody was having a really swell time. I caught one of those orange Frisbees that David Hochberg's team was throwing out. The commercials on the radio said, if you catch one of our squeeze balls or orange Frisbees, you can use those as a $400 gift certificate for money off on the next home that you buy.
Wow.
You know, the closing cost, they'll take $400 off. Son of a gun, here comes an orange little Frisbee. I caught it and I said, holy cow, let's sell. We don't even need to sell, but I thought, I've got to get, this is a $400 Frisbee.
Well, you should put on Facebook, you'll sell the Frisbee for $200.
That is a good idea, Steve.
So, or you can just give it to me for the future.
Yeah.
I just want to understand this. And so you're saying you did not, we missed you in the parade. Why weren't you there?
I was in it 1 year. This year I thought I want to watch it go by because it's two different views.
Yesterday, or last year, it went a block from your house.
Yeah, this year
no
did
idea.
Too. Yeah, right. Well, there's that. So then this year I was totally ready for it. You generally know something's coming up when the city lines a bunch of porta potties up in front of your driveway. So that happened. And then the most colorful, outrageous, outlandish LGBTQ folks ever show up. You know, they do a pride parade in a lot of other cities, including in Minneapolis. In Minneapolis, it's more like the Daughters of the American Revolution. It's more like, hey, wouldn't it be great if we were all more accepting and people wear sensible clothes and it's kind of boring. In Chicago, it's the opposite. It's cuckoo bananas. It is colorful and vibrant and joyful and affirming and accepting. And it is like, it's like the Blackhawks parade. It's like the Cubs parade. It's where everybody is cheering. Literally, they are screaming for like 3 or 4 hours. Whoa! And at no point does Kaner come by. At no point is Anthony Rizzo waving to you. It's just waving to people. Everybody's happy and excited and cheerful. And I don't know many things that are like that in our world, especially now, but ever, where it's like, let's all just get up. We'll line both sides of a city street for miles. We'll send some other folks down the middle, and we will just cheer for them and what they represent, which in this case is a lifestyle. They are members of the LGBT community, or they are supporters of gay and bi and lesbian people, and they're all just happy about it. And it's just really...
It's a celebration of love.
It really is.
All love.
I mean, like, so I'm watching the people on the floats, and they'll come by, and they'll point to somebody and blow them a kiss, and they'll blow a kiss back, and then they'll point to people that are in the second-story windows hanging out, and they're going, hey, how are you? How are you? I don't know you. I don't know you either. Have a nice day. I love you. Yay.
It was my first Pride Parade ever, yeah. And I hadn't even watched one before. And I actually got the chills because of what the message is of the whole thing. It's all about love.
It's also an opportunity to wear only a jock strap if you choose to. Oh, my God. This is the difference between ours and the one in Minneapolis. In Chicago,
it's very exposing.
You see stuff, man. You see.
I was in LA recently, and they had their Pride Parade the weekend that I was there.
Was it like ours?
June 8th. It was. I didn't see the parade, but I saw people getting ready for it.
Yeah.
And I saw some Speedos out there.
Oh well, this is. I saw some Speedos. I saw some spots where Speedos should be, but weren't. It's just. You know, it's funny because my only advice to Pride. Is, I mean, everything I just said about it all. But I just wonder, and the answer may be a resounding no, but I wonder if the sort of outlandishness or the sometimes fun sexuality that they display almost works against them, right? If you're looking to affirm the people who are on the sidelines about the issue or about the lifestyle, we'll look at that and just say, oh, see, this is it. This is, look at them, Margaret. They're not even wearing all their clothes. They don't even have Birkenstocks on. And, you know, I think it sort of almost mischaracterizes them or what we need to do, which is accept and affirm, because it's just so flipping out there. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the bus has left those people anyway. I mean, I think that might have been the case 10 years ago or 15 years ago, but now... No, it's a victory lap.
I mean,
I think the people were fighting for respect and recognition 15, 20 years ago. Now it's a victory lap.
I think part of it is that people are finally able to just express themselves how they want to express themselves.
Yeah,
but I don't want to see anyone in chaps on the street. So I hear what you're saying, John.
Well, then as the Chicago Leather Fetish Club float went by. And there was a bunch of guys who looked like they worked for Harley Davidson. You know, square-shouldered, beefy, 50, say, 8-year-old guys with well-manicured white mustaches and beards. And as they go by...
They forgot their pants.
Oh, my God. No, they were wearing pants, okay. But they forgot the butt of the pants, and they had leather all around there. Or dog masks. I mean, it was just like this sort of leather display. I'm okay with that. Right? I mean, it's not for me.
For one day, but not... If the Pride Parade was every day, it might be a little
I guess that's the point, because it will never be my choice. If it's your choice, that's fine. I'm happy for you. I don't need to see it. But the fact that it's on display, I think, will scare off as many advocates as it will draw adherence. I think it'll make people go, oh, geez.
I really think you're wrong.
Well, I think I'm. I know I'm right.
That's good. That's good.
No, I mean
I'll be Raja. You be. I was going to say Ray.
Darren. Yeah, Ray's his dad. Yeah. No, but I mean Steve. I hope you hear me on this.
I do, but I don't.
I don't. I'm not disallowing anybody any of that.
I completely understand that. But what I'm saying is I think that the people who are. I think there's such a small minority now of people who are unaccepting that, I mean, I think your point might have been a better one 15 or 20 years ago.
Maybe so, but I mean, the Supreme Court just ruled that a couple of guys don't have to serve a cake to people who are of the same, you know, to a couple of guys. They don't have to give them a...
And if love is love, why does it have to be so dramatic? I think if you're being equal...
Well, you'd never see a celebration like this of heterosexual rights. But then again, heterosexuals have never been marginalized. So I understand sort of the flaw of that thinking as I mentally go down there. I'm just wondering if they are best representing their cause. But in the meantime, wow, what fun. What a parade. All right, 123 on WGN. I was listening to Steve Cochran today. He had what I thought was a fascinating conversation with Justin Kaufman after the 10 o'clock news. And I need your take on what they said. And that'll come your way next. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. I'm dancing. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Remember the Childish Gambino song and the video, which was transfixing. I couldn't stop watching it when it first came out. And now there's a conversation about whether or not Childish Gambino actually took some audio from somebody else and made it his own. We'll play the two for you after the 2 o'clock news and go down that road. It's always kind of funny to do the Chiffons and George Harrison's My Sweet Lord. We'll catch you up on that story in the 2 o'clock hour. I want to also catch you up on what happened on this fine radio station earlier today. I, like you, maybe was listening to Steve Cochran. Justin Kaufman joins him in the mornings now. And they were having a conversation about Sarah Sanders being asked to leave. I don't know if that means you got kicked out, but I guess she got kicked out. But in a never so polite way. She was asked to leave the restaurant that she was at. It's called the Red Hen. The staff there is liberal. The owner is. And when it was seen that Sarah Sanders and her kind of large group were there, the owner said, you know, what do you guys want to do? And they said, ask her to leave. She pulled her aside and said, will you please leave? Cochran and Kaufman's conversation started there.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders left, and that was all you heard of it.
Yeah.
Not quite. Sarah Huckabee Sanders went on her government Twitter account. Name the restaurant, name the location of the restaurant, which is an incredibly unethical thing to do. It's also dangerous because you can get some Trump nut to go over there and cause real problems for her. So the president this morning scolded Sarah Huckabee Sanders and took the high road.
That's right.
Not quite. Justin, what's the president's tweet?
6:41 a.m., Donald J. Trump tweeted, the Red Hen restaurant should focus more on cleaning its filthy canopies, doors, and windows, parentheses, badly needs a paint job, rather than refusing to serve a fine person like Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I always had a rule, if a restaurant is dirty on the outside, it's dirty on the inside.
It's funny, I say the same thing about my presidents.
Here's the thing. I would say that this country is divided 50-50, but on this story, I'll bet you it's more like 70-30, where even liberals and Democrats and people on the left realize it's probably wrong to not serve Sarah Huckabee Sanders. We get into really murky, complicated territory when you start kicking people out of restaurants based on your political views.
Well,
you start
to get,
this country has a long history of kicking people out for things that don't have to do with food.
When the last administration was in office, it happened all the time. One of the bigger ones is when Vice President Biden was kicked out of a bakery in Virginia.
And either way, it's wrong. I don't think that we should be doing that. I think the country should be bigger than that, especially when it comes to money.
I don't disagree with that. However, the bakery, the Supreme Court decision that just came down that said businesses don't have to serve anybody they don't want to serve.
I just feel as a country, which you should leave your politics at the door if you want to get a chicken marsala. I don't think that what your stance is on immigration should have any effect on that chicken marsala. That's my point.
You can't have it both ways. You can't say a gay person can't get the cake, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders gets to eat dinner.
It was a really interesting conversation, but I wonder what you think of Justin Kaufman's assertion that 70% of the people say that Sarah, even if you don't like her, gets to stay in the restaurant. If you are the owner of that restaurant, and there's Sarah Sanders with some folks, and by the way, they're spending good money in your joint, do you ask them to leave or do you let them stay?
So my dad owns a restaurant and my family always has. And my dad would not turn away pretty much anyone.
Yeah.
And that's not even just on political view. I mean, you're there to serve, you know, when you have a business or an establishment. I don't know why you would take it personally if someone wants to get food from you and you don't like the way they voted or who they are, I guess. I don't know.
So there it is. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Text or call. Sarah's in your restaurant. Do you treat her like anybody else or do you treat her differently? I wonder what you would do. Lovely day in downtown Chicago. What did you say the current temperature is, Mr. Bertrand? Don't worry, I'm not going to tease you about the temperature right now.
74.
Man.
I didn't remember.
How about that? 74 degrees. It's positively lovely. Don't forget now, you can get tickets to our Thomas Jefferson show. TJ and I will be on stage at the College of DuPage Saturday, August 18th, 10 a.m. And for about 90 minutes, you will be amazed and humored and well-informed. Wonder what the Founding Fathers would say about us today, and what should we say to the Founding Fathers? So we'll let you ask questions. I'll ask questions. That's the drill. It's really just a remarkable thing. I hope you come. Tickets are at WGNRadio.com/events. You can get them now. WGNRadio.com/events. Moment ago, we played back part of Steve Cochran's show this morning. He and Justin Kaufman were talking about whether or not it's wrong for a restaurant to ask Sarah Sanders to leave. She is the spokesperson for the president. Some folks don't like him. Some folks don't like her. There she was having a swell time. And then on her government account, I'm not too bent out of shape about that, but you're not supposed to use your government account to slam a restaurant.
Well, it was Twitter, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Her government Twitter account, but I mean, it is.
We don't know what's personal anymore.
I don't either.
Do you have a WGN Twitter account?
Or? I don't. Yeah, somebody asked me today, is my WGN King John WGN account or a John Williams account? I said, I don't know. All of my handles are WGN King John. I went online with my phone and created them. I have a blue check mark. I think that makes it representative of the station, although I'm the only one with Elif, you know, that controls it. So I don't know who owns my Twitter account or not. But anyway, Sarah Sanders said that she was asked to leave. And it's true. So my question is, what should happen in a situation like that? And Justin said that probably 70% of us think that it's wrong for us to start denying service to people whose job or boss or political convictions we don't like. Here's some of your phone calls. Rich, you're on WGN Radio. What do you want to say about that? Rich, you're on the air.
Oh, maybe because I'm old enough, back when TV had only three channels and dinosaurs roamed the earth. But I remember as a kid growing up, and I don't mean just restaurants, I even remember an auto parts store by my house. It was a common sign I've seen in businesses, of course I'm talking decades ago, that said, we reserve the right to refuse service to anybody. Now, the other side of me, the capitalist side, says, hey, it's your business. If that's your policy, that's your policy. You own the place. You have the keys to the door. But me, I'm the opposite. I'm like, hey, if your credit card doesn't get declined and your check doesn't bounce, I'll take your money.
So
as long as your presence there isn't offensive, namely if you're wearing an offensive T-shirt or offensive clothing.
You're loud and obnoxious,
i.e. you're an Illinois Nazi, but you want to wear your uniform in the place, then obviously the answer is no. But, you know, as long as, like I said, you're not acting, saying, or wearing anything that would offend other customers, I'll take your money.
Thanks,
but on the other side, like I said, if you own the business, if you want to turn people away just because you don't like who they voted for or who they work for, have at it, man.
Okay.
Turn down money.
No, I got you. So Rich says you ought to be able to do it, but he wouldn't unless you're truly doing something offensive at that time. Hey, Tom, you're on the air. What do you want to say?
Hi, John.
Hey.
First of all, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a constitutional law expert or professor, but I play one on the radio.
Me too. That's my line, yeah.
No, I think the restaurant owner has every right to do it, as long as he's not violating Title VII. You know, there's a protective class. You know, race, religion, sex, sexual orientation.
Right, I thought about that, but they're not denying her service because of her gender.
Exactly. So they're denying her service based on freedom of speech.
Well, she certainly is legally able to turn the customer away, but the question is whether or not it was a good idea.
Well, good idea is in the eye of the beholder. like the previous caller said, if you're a capitalist, no, you don't want to turn anybody away.
Yeah, but I think Justin's point was, hey, let's not fight this fight that way. That's us marginalizing each other. That's everybody going back to the camps and nobody leaning into the middle, right? So is this...
And Steve's point was a good one, too. She accelerated it or put accelerant on it by tweeting out the name of the restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's some do-over behavior on both sides.
Well, and
here,
they were calling BS on the fact that while she's saying this is outrageous and the president was, the administration advocated... You know, they were on the side of the bakers that didn't want to bake a cake for somebody who's gay, right? So we're, in other words, we support the right of a business to deny service to somebody for some reason. And if that reason is not you're gay, but I don't like your policies on gay people, for instance, I'm going to deny you service too. If it's good for one, it should be good for the other. It's not the outrage then that maybe the president and Sarah were saying.
I see those things as two totally separate issues. One, you're denying service to someone based on the fact that they fall into one of the Title VII protected classes.
Yeah.
You can't do that, at least in my opinion. I mean, based on the Supreme Court's ruling.
What would you do if they were in your restaurant, Tom? if Sarah Sanders, and maybe you like Donald Trump and Sarah Sanders, then it's a different question. But
right,
I mean,
if there was someone in there that I had a strong feeling against, no matter who it is, what it is, whatever, as long as it was my opinion and it's my restaurant, I'm going to ask you to leave.
You are. You understand why she did that and you support her in doing that.
I understand why the restaurant owner did that.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And keep in mind, the employees, the number of gay employees in the restaurant who called the business owner, called her back to her business.
And she surveyed them, took a little vote.
Right, and Sanders, they were upset because Sanders has endorsed the idea of not going, you know, restaurant owners not having to serve gay people. Yeah. So there is a parallel there. It just doesn't work in any direction.
But here's what we're doing now. Tommy Lahren, the Fox News reporter or commentator, I don't know, you remember the story? She was in a restaurant and as she's walking out, somebody took a glass of water and threw it at her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
it's terrible.
Harvey Weinstein got, you know, verbally assaulted when he...
okay, but what about the...
Went to a restaurant.
Kirsten Nielsen going to a Mexican restaurant. To me, that one might be different. it might be a little different.
Of all the things you could have eaten, Chinese, Italian...
Right.
I missed that, though. Kirsten Nielsen, the...
Oh, you don't know the story?
No.
Oh, it was on the day. Like, she had her White House briefing talking about separating the parents and about how they had to do it because it was the law, even though they undid it later. And then that night, she went to a Mexican restaurant.
Well, maybe that's the courage of your convictions, right? Not only do I feel that, tonight we're having tacos. Come on, kids, get in the car. But what could go wrong?
Do you agree also, though? I mean, I wish the restaurant owner might have voiced her support for her employees in a different way, maybe. I don't know if it served her here. But it was kind of irresponsible for Sanders to put out the name of the restaurant in a picture, too.
Sure.
I don't know if she tweeted the picture, but she did the name of the restaurant. Because that is fueling the fire. And
I agree.
That's a very conscious decision.
Well, and the president then is putting more fuel on the fire.
Do what he does.
But you would expect that if you're her. I mean, really, I think that's a lump that you have to take privately. You can tell your friends, but under the auspices of the office of the President of the United States, you probably shouldn't burn a restaurant that exercised a legal right to not serve you. Well, if you handed me the text at 312-981-7200. Hey, John, we teach our children that there are consequences when they behave poorly. This is about Sarah Sanders being asked to leave the Red Hen restaurant. Being asked to leave the restaurant is a consequence for all that hateful stuff. From 847, is the White House press secretary a protected class? The owner asked her employees what they thought, acted on their concerns, discreetly asked someone to leave, and then covered the bill. She was judged on her actions and words. So upsetting every day to hear the news, John, says 708. Can we please imagine what things were said to President Obama's staff? 815, John, this president and his administration statements and actions are not in accordance with what is right or good to our country. 847, I wouldn't view a restaurant any differently than a bakery. Both businesses serve customers, so help me understand why conservatives are in an uproar about this. And from 847, this president has set the tone for discord and thrives and the chaos that divides our nation.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
It's
a real problem. You can't do that. You know, if you want to keep the high road here, you can't say, well, if they do it, we can do it.
Yeah, well,
you can't.
I'm just thinking I've never been a business owner, Steve, but I wonder if the business owner also thinks this. My not serving Sarah Sanders is maybe not bad for business in that, say it's 50-50. If the other 50 rally around me, I'll be fine. You know, why would you cut off anybody's business? You want Republicans and Democrats to eat in your restaurant. By throwing Sarah Sanders out, you've told half of your potential audience, don't come here. How can that be good for business? But they may decide that if the other 50% decides I'm their champion, right, then I'll be just fine.
Well, hopefully that none of that came into her mind, and she was supporting her employees who felt, you know, gravely insulted by Sarah Sanders, and yeah, she was standing up for her workers. And if she's doing that, that's an admirable thing. I just wish there was a better way to do it.
You know, how does she express herself then? Does she privately pull Sarah Sanders aside and say, I just want you to know how hypocritical it is that all the employees here are serving you, even though you endorsed a policy that wouldn't serve a cake to gay people. I'll let you go back to your, maybe, and now go back to your table, but and by the way, we're undercooking your food.
No.
Don't tell me that restaurant employees sometimes have not exercised some vengeance on people they don't like by handling their food differently.
I would have. How about
I'm not
this?
Suggesting that.
No. How about this? Serve her cheese tray, which is, I think, what they had, right?
Yeah.
And then have the gay employees who took issue walk to her table and say, Madam Spokeswoman, these are the people who prepared your food, and we just want you to know that these are my workers. I love them. They're great people. Served you, and you're not doing them. You're doing them a disservice by your position.
What did you guys think of the cast of Hamilton talking down Mike Pence at the show? You remember that?
Yeah.
Pence is there. And was it before, during, or after the show?
It was after the show.
Yeah. Right. They come out for the curtain call. Go ahead, Steve.
And then Aaron Burr, I think it was, the guy who played Aaron Burr.
The guy that played Aaron Burr. It wasn't Aaron Burr.
Who now is selling coffee or insurance or something, I think. Was that him? I don't know if it's the same guy. But then he sort of gave this long First Amendment speech, things like that, right?
Got up and walked out.
Right.
I mean, the crowd started booing and jeering or cheering and yaying. I mean, the crowd was on the side of Aaron Burr, mostly.
For the first time all night.
And Mike Pence just had to take his lumps. You know, my attitude about that was I'd want to go to see Hamilton, too, if I was an American. But if I was Mike Pence, I guess I would not be shocked that there wouldn't be some sort of backlash because of who I am and what I represent.
Yeah, but same thing. I think I don't remember specifically what he said, and I don't remember what my position was then. I know it was correct. but, you know, you could speak affirmatively about the First Amendment it was about immigrants. That's what it was. Immigrants get it done. You could speak affirmatively about that and indirectly to the vice president rather than to single him out, maybe.
Well, it's not like they denied Pence tickets. They were happy to take his money. I presume that somebody was paying for him. It's 1:57. We'll pause here. Steve's going to do the news at the top of the hour. Childish Gambino, you remember that video that came out, This Is America? Holy cow, was that amazing and dark and entertaining. But now somebody said, and ripped off. John Williams, I'll get to that in a second. It's 10 after 2. We are in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are 18 stories above the Chicago River, downtown Chicago. What a lovely view and day we're having. I hope you are too. Listen to this show until 3 on weekdays and Saturdays, 10 a.m. till noon, WGN. King John on social media. And make sure you subscribe to the Mincing Rascals, a weekly podcast we like and was recently judged the best podcast in the city.
I miss you guys.
Steve Bertram wasn't able to join us this week.
Last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Are you going to be there on Thursday of this?
I think so. I hope so.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of news, Dave Stewart, who worked and did radio here for years and years and years, terrific guy, terrific newsman. His last day on the radio in Chicago is going to be Friday. There was a going away party. He's at a different station now, but there was a going away party for him, if you will, a retirement party. That I attended on Saturday night. Kathy O'Malley was there. Leslie Kiling was there. Wes Bleed, our longtime news anchor and news director, was there.
I'm so sorry I missed that party.
Tom Peterson was scheduled to be but couldn't make it. But it was just really nice to see a bunch of guys and gals from traffic and from news and on-air personalities that were there. Dave Stewart's family was there. It was at his house. His wife threw a nice hoo-ha for him, and Brenda and I went there, and it was just nice to connect with those people and pat Dave on the back. I thought you were going to say something, Steve.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
what a great guy Dave Stewart is.
Well, he is a great guy. He still is, even though he won't be working anymore.
Yeah. Well,
very
lucky
jealous.
Him.
Very jealous. He's retiring.
Yeah.
We had a going away party for Emma that night, so I wasn't able to go. But I've got some awards for Wes. I wish I had known he was going to go. I would have given you his old awards.
Oh, no kidding. Are they?
Yeah.
We have trophies and whatnot and
when
awards.
We packed up some of them, didn't make the move.
Well, it's funny because then Dave cuts the cake, and I briefly just said, you know, I said, I just want you all to know that one of my signature things on the radio is The Bright Side of Life. And I told the story about how we did it once. And then the next, just inadvertently, we played the music and we all started chiming in with happy things in our lives and people called in. The following Friday, Dave Stewart, who I describe as a curmudgeonly newsman, no nonsense, let's get the job done, people. Dave says, are we going to do that happy thing? And I said, what's the happy thing? He said, you know, where you play the music. I said, I didn't know that was a thing. He said, try it again. 20 years later, I'm still doing it. So thank you, Dave, for being the grandfather of the bright side of life. And then Leslie Keiling, again, a longtime employee here doing traffic. She said, I just want to say something else, too. Dave is one of the great newsmen of Chicago. You do not know his politics, but you do know his voice, and you know he's there to give you credible news, as we all are. But it's never been more challenging, and I think Dave deserved both of those plaudits. So props to him and to all of them. Nice to see Kathy and the gang as well. So did you see this story? Childish Gambino. You remember the song, right? Ella, refresh our memory. This is America. Don't catch you slipping. You know it for the video. Don't catch you slipping. Much as the audio. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. You remember what it looked like? I'm fading you down, Ella. If you can stop and cue up the next one. But that was shot in what was like a warehouse, remember? And there's some very violent scenes and imagery in it. And Childish Gambino was saying something, and the conversation was about the things he was saying and our interpretation of it. It was a fascinating video. It's really profound. And now somebody is saying, that's a lot like our song. We'll get to that in just a second. But when you go down that road, you have to hit some of the stops along the way. Okay, so this is the Chiffons. He's so fine. Great song. Okay, I'm fading you down, Elle, if you can hit stop. So they say that song sounded way too much like George Harrison. Different words, but when they criticized George Harrison, I mean, it was a lawsuit saying, George, My Sweet Lord sounds too much like the Chiffons, He's So Fine. They actually did a mashup of the two of them so that you could hear how much the more recent song sounded like the original. It turns out that the two of them played at the same time. I kind of like that one, too. I like the Chiffons. I like My Sweet Lord. And I like the two of them played one over the other. That sounded like a nice song as well. However, a judge ruled that Harrison was guilty of subconscious plagiarism. I didn't know that was a thing. Subconscious plagiarism. You didn't mean to rip that other guy off, but you did. The penalty phase was delayed until February of 1981. He was initially ordered to pay $1.6 million. That was lowered to $587,000 when his former manager purchased the music and negotiated the sale of the song to Harrison, so he didn't have to pay as much. But the point is, you can blatantly steal from somebody, or you could say, I didn't know I was doing it. It was somewhere in the recesses of my mind, and it came out as my own. Now, am I guilty of a crime? That's subconscious plagiarism, and evidently you are, to the tune of $1.6 million in 1981 bucks. That's not the only time this sort of thing has happened. Okay, so here is, what are we playing next year, Ms. Garris? Marvin Gaye. Gotta give it up. Violetta, what does this sound like?
Marvin Gaye.
Who else does it sound like?
I don't know.
That's Marvin Gaye, Gotta Give It Up, which sounds a lot like... Lord Lines. Boy, these sound a lot alike. So,
you know they sound the same when you do the same dance move to both. If you can't think of something else to do, it's the same exact song.
Your Honor, I point to row two in the courtroom. All of those people are jamming the same way. Robin Thicke noticeably ripped off Marvin Gaye's 1977 hit Gotta Give It Up when he wrote the smash hit Blurred Lines, a Los Angeles jury decided. He and co-writer Pharrell Williams had to pay $7.3 million as part of the ruling. I remember that that came up. I didn't remember. You know, you know how these things start. You don't always know how they finish because there's also appeals and delays. The verdict puts to rest over a year's worth of legal back and forth between Thicke and Gaye's estate, in which the latter sought $25 million in damage. They got $7.3 million. I just don't know how much Marvin Gaye's estate is damaged. Like, okay, Robin Thicke, you shouldn't have done that. But
I don't think it's damaged. I think he just wants to be acknowledged for his idea.
Yeah, well, they made a lot of money on Blurred Lines. Didn't that make like $11 zillion or something like that?
Actually, though, I'm really glad that that story came out because that was when I discovered that Marvin Gaye song.
Oh, so on the ups, well, that's the thing. That's kind of, I wonder how much it's damaged you when, if he had never written the song, that is, had never stolen from you. Your song, however successful, wasn't throwing off a lot of income lately. Maybe it's not all just about income. It's about theft. At the end of the day, it's about theft. But even if it's subconscious, but maybe that's not the point. The point is you can't steal from somebody. So even though you weren't making that much more money with the song lately, and Lord knows a lot of people were reintroduced to it with what Thicke did, you still don't get to do that. It's not like you're doing the Gaye estate a favor, saying, hey, listen, I'm going to do you a solid. I believe solid means a nice thing. Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to steal your stuff. I'm going to make $11 jillion, and then folks will discover you too on the side. You don't get to do that.
That is the definition of philanthropy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We'll try and tell that to the judge and the jury. So now we have the latest dust up on this. Okay. So we've got Jace Harley's American. Are we going to play Jace Harley, American Pharoah?
I'm young and I'm black in America. They try to attack and embarrass us. Y'all don't want your daughters to marry us. Half a society scared of us. Now I'm young with no barriers. So if you owe me money, just police killed my best friend. They shot him dead. I do not forgive. I do not forget.
That's Jason Harley's American Pharoah. Violetta Podramatic working the DJ booth. Mixing the record back and forth. Very tight. Very on beat.
I saw that.
You were dancing. You were actually mixing, girl. You were DJing that.
Okay, I thought you got me and Elif mixed up again. I was like, no, I wasn't.
Yes, you were. I don't know if you noticed, but you were. So that's American Pharoah, Jace Harley. This is Childish Gambino. This is America.
This is America.
Oh, that sounds alike.
Don't catch you slipping, no. Don't catch you slipping, no.
That sounds a lot alike.
Look what I'm whipping, no. This is America. Don't catch you slipping, no.
Violetta's doing the same DJ move.
Don't catch you slipping, no.
Got the hands on both turntables.
This is America. Don't got you slipping up. Look how I'm living up.
I just love this song.
Yeah, I do too.
But you almost can't tell the difference between the two. Even you guys didn't play the clip of This Is America with the gunshots, but they have gunshots.
Oh, they both do the same part there as well. There it is. Thank you. Thank you. So now the question is, did Childish Gambino steal then that track or some of the bass line audio, you know, the music or something like that, the beat? And he says no. He says that he has the actual recording session of it from 3 years ago. So Gambino came up with this. That's kind of hard to believe because Childish Gambino's song, This Is America, seems so current. It's like he wrote it yesterday. But they say no, they have these sort of computer tracks of it. You know how you watch a video sometimes, a news story, and you'll see the lines going up and down? They've got that session from a few years ago. Their session, Childish Gambino's, predated Jace Harley's American Pharoah. So it appears as though, if anybody stole from anybody, like as a result of a timeline, you know, American Pharoah came second, but it's my guess is that both of them randomly just came up with it on their own, and it just happens to sound the same.
Hmm.
I know, but that's hard to believe, too. But why would Jace Harley's, and by the way, Harley isn't saying this, the interwebs is. People are going, hey, look at this. Gambino, you stole. And then other people are saying, wow. And suddenly it becomes a news story when maybe it shouldn't at all. Maybe it is just random. And it's a conversation. But ain't nobody ripping off nobody. There's no court case. And to my knowledge, the two of them aren't accusing each other of that. They're just watching from the sidelines as people are making conclusions without having the facts.
That's got to be one of the craziest parts of this. That they're not even accusing each other. They're not mad about it. Just hearing the difference somehow is riling people up.
Okay, so let me play the two of them one more time in a minute on WGN.
This is a really strange weather system to have at this time of year.
Weather forecast with Tom Skilling.
This is a well-organized, what we call a synoptic scale or large-scale rain-producing system superimposed on a summer moisture field.
The weather forecast with Rokon.
Oh, this day sucks.
Here comes that rainy day.
Get both versions afternoons on WGN Radio.
Grainberry, Grainberry.
This is Barb Harris for Grainberry Cereals. You may know that Grainberry is known for nutritious whole grains and natural antioxidants. But now, I'd like to tell you about new Grainberry Cereals with remarkable Onyx. Onyx Black Sorghum was perfected at Texas A&M University. Its health benefits are remarkable. Like neutralizing a full range of free radical threats to your body, from the sun's rays to normal digestion and everything in between. Not only more powerful antioxidants, Onyx helps control sugar metabolism in your body. It slows down the absorption of sugar into the bloodstream. And Grainberry Onyx has natural fiber grown within the plant itself, so you don't have to borrow fiber as some cereals do. Also, Grainberry pancake and waffle, cookie, brownie, and muffin mixes, all with remarkable Onyx. Time to give your body some real support. Grainberry with Onyx.
Available at your local Jewel, where they care about your health.
Grainberry, Grainberry.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-400-3816. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-400-3816. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-400-3816. 1-800-400-3816.
It's a rematch in time, L.A. It's a rematch. Oh, it's rematch time in L.A. I'm going to start all over again.
Hello.
It's Cubs and Dodgers tomorrow.
Thank you, Steve Bertrand. That's on WGN-TV. Watch Micah and Joe Matier, too. Jets would be Micah Matier and Joe Donlan. Weeknights on WGN-TV News at 5, 6, 9, and 10. Why'd they hire him? That young person you know who's having trouble at school, the one that can't stay in school or keep a job, has hope now at a place called Yellow Brick. It's in Evanston. I know someone whose anxiety is so severe. This young person can't stay in school, can't keep a job, bright kid, lots of family, friends, support. But sometimes the stress just overwhelms her and she drops out. If that sounds familiar, if that's like someone you know, I want you to contact Yellow Brick. First, they do an intake evaluation that is amazingly thorough. They really get to know these young people and what's troubling them. And then a world-class team of clinicians, scholars, and doctors and counselors come up with a plan that's more than counseling and medication. That's an option, but I'm telling you, they show you how there are ways to train the brain, skills you literally learn to overcome anxiety. You're functional. You're happy again. Some of the technology is cutting edge, and some of it's just common sense. Don't throw up your hands and give up hope. They give you hope at Yellow Brick. It's intense, smart, it's science with a soul. Visit yellowbrickprogram.com. Yellowbrickprogram.com. Steve's doing the news in a minute. It's 227. Wow, what's going on with the markets? Aleph, where's the Dow now, brown cow?
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 419.53 points at 24,161.36 points.
President Trump's plans to crack down on Chinese investments in major technologies in the USA, they say, is pressuring markets down. NASDAQ's off 2%. Bertrand will talk more about this. You see what's happening with this trade stuff we're in. Harley Davidson. Nearby Harley Davidson said, we're going to have to start manufacturing more motorcycles overseas because Europe is taxing the motorcycles that come from Wisconsin. They're putting a tariff on them. So now some of the production is going to go to Europe because then it won't be subject to an export tax, an import tax there. So this is what happens when you play that game. Maybe this will save Milwaukee jobs. Maybe not. Maybe this will help us out. But right now, Dow is reacting down and Harley's moving some jobs overseas. Hey, let's listen one more time. So what are we going to start with here now, Ms. Garris? We're going to listen to...
Childish Gambino.
Okay, hit it.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping
up. I think the takeaway from this...
This is America.
...is that nobody's stealing from anybody. This is the read right now.
Look what I'm whipping up.
This is just how people can come up with... Okay, that's good.
They have the same message.
They have the same message.
So they're not stealing. They're sharing the same ideas.
Well, I wonder if that's what it is. Okay, I've got that beat, and it's a hip-hop or rap beat. That's not uncommon. And I've got this message about this is what America is like, folks, and I'm going to rap to it. And so that's what happens when Childish Gambino does. Another artist with the same sort of idea came up with this.
I'm young and I'm black in America. They try to attack and embarrass us. Y'all don't want your daughters
different words,
to marry us.
For sure.
Half of society scared of us. I'm young with no barriers. So if you owe me money...
I think a real takeaway for me is that there is such a thing also as subconscious... What was the word they used? Subconscious wasn't theft. Plagiarism. Was that what it was, Elif? And so you may be taking something from somebody, but you don't mean to. So when I get to be king and... Look at all of these cases that you all are reminding us of. Hey, John, let's not forget Sam Smith versus Tom Petty. John, the Keek sued the Doors over Hello. Bob Marley's Buffalo Soldiers and the Banana Splits theme song. I love the la, 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 la. Anyway, John Creedon's Clearwater Revival sued John Fogerty. Smells Like Teen Spirit. A lot of this has not happened for the first time here, right? This has happened many times before. And I think an interesting point is, and I think it's legitimate, is that you don't mean to steal, you don't mean to copy. It's somewhere in the back of your brain. You come up with the idea as independently as you can, and lo and behold, somebody else planted that seed. And I will be very sympathetic to the person who accidentally does that. I'm not going to take away all of their money. 1983, but it just seemed, a lot of you are saying, hey, it was 83 or whatever.
1983?
But then I thought Enet put it in some context.
That would have been Pete Rose's manager, maybe?
No.
No, yeah, it would have been.
Well, no, I know. These are all nice things that you're saying about the Reds back then.
I don't know I'm wrong unless you tell me. I have to say it.
Well, all I know, Steve, is if you say it right, I think I'll remember what that was.
Marge Schott had a burnt St. Bernard.
But see, you're just guessing now.
Well, of course I'm guessing.
Well, I would appreciate it if you would have listened and then you would have known.
You listened and you don't know.
That's true.
Be a great place for a radio show.
Ken Griffey Jr.?
I'm not... Okay, I'm done. I'm not going to remember.
It could be.
Hey, have you guys ever been in a situation where somebody is doing something in the audience and the show stops? The Chicago Symphony Orchestra stopped because somebody was coughing?
I was at a Broadway play a couple years ago with Alec Baldwin and Shia LaBeouf. But it was Shia LaBeouf was gone.
You were sitting with them, or they
no,
were on stage?
They were on, but there was a place that might help people remember it. I don't remember the name of it, but
Shia LaBeouf
and who's the first guy? I said
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin is tied up in a chair on stage,
right?
And the curtains open, and apparently someone in the crowd had a heart attack or something.
Oh,
and so you know he's on stage, he's acting, he's tied up.
Oh no!
And they start to the lights start to come up, and people are rushing in, and they decide to halt the play, and they close the curtain, and Alec Baldwin is about 3 feet in front of the closed curtain.
Oh.
He's literally tied up.
Oh, weird!
So, Alec, you stay there.
So he starts jumping up and back and scooting behind the curtain.
Oh, God.
You can't recover from that.
I know.
Well, the guy didn't, I don't think, in the stands.
I mean, I was at a summer stock show in Central Illinois years ago. I think it was Singing in the Rain, and thunderclouds were coming in. All of a sudden, the tornado sirens go off, and everybody's listening to that, and you are looking at the people on stage, and the people on stage are looking at the people in the audience, and everybody was thinking the same thing. What should we do? And finally, one of the characters said, okay, this is weird, but we're going to stop now. And then everybody, you know, took shelter, which, you know, at a Summerstock Theater is nowhere. You know, instead of dying here, we're all going to go die over there. So then we all kind of found what we thought was a safer place for about a half an hour, and then they picked it back up where they left off.
And there was the Indiana State Fair with the Sugarland concert, obviously.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Right.
But if somebody is coughing, if he stops the show...
Because someone's coughing?
As a consideration to that person, like they need help, I get that.
It's not how I read it.
But if he is just annoyed that you people, don't you appreciate the music? Of course I do. I paid good money for the ticket, you mope. I don't want to be coughing here. People coughing can't help it. People who don't silence their phones, that's a different thing. People who talk too loudly, that's a different thing. People coughing? Really? You're going to shame me for coughing?
Well, there could be some, you know, industrial coughers who aren't self-aware. You know, very loud. Maybe that was what it was.
Oh, okay, well, in that case, maybe the conductor... I'm not mad at the conductor of the Chicago Symphony. I wasn't there. Maybe you were. Muti is his name?
Yeah, Ricardo Muti.
Yeah, he's awesome. But I would think that you would assume that that is a genuine cough and they're not trying to
right.
obstruct.
Claire McCaskill's playing with a cracked rib. You can play through the cough.
Exactly. I'm just kind of curious what you bumped into out there. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You saw or heard what? Did they ever stop the show? And, you know, more and more we see people using their cell phones. And you tell people to silence them and they don't remember it. I was at a show recently and they said, everybody take out your phone. Turn it on, make it ring, now make it stop, right? So that it was more of an affirmative action rather than hope that you remembered. You know, people assumed that they've got it off. They said, no, make it happen, now make it stop. That was kind of clever. But the people whose phones ring and they're reaching through their bag and trying to figure out where it is, that's kind of... I could see the Chicago Symphony stopping. But even then, I don't know that that helps, right? Because
it doesn't help at all.
Because I'm trying to enjoy the music. I wonder what's more, you know, ruinous to the music. Them stopping while you fumble through your purse or stop coughing?
Another thing,
or them playing through it?
When you go, or when I would go to the symphony, I don't hear anything that the musicians are hearing. You know what I mean? I mean, my appreciation for it just isn't there. I don't understand it. I don't, you know, I can hear, oh, that's pretty music. I get that. Yeah, it makes me feel good. But, you know, as far as the precision or the craftsmanship or all of that, I think probably 90% of the people in the audience there are not listening.
Oh, I see.
With that ear.
So if this throws them off their game a little bit, don't worry. We're not smart enough to notice the difference.
In a way, yeah. We're not smart enough to, you know, appreciate it.
Yeah. I had a friend who was in the Minnesota Symphony Orchestra, and he would say, oh, that was a terrible show. I said,
right, exactly. That's exactly it. Really? I couldn't tell because it was all Wiedersehen, right? I heard that song.
I was doing Thomas Jefferson on stage, you know, where we bring him into town. Tickets on sale right now at WGNradio.com/events.
Like how you did that.
So we say, everybody, please silence your phones. It's, you know, we've brought this man back from the 18th century. It's very helpful if we don't have to interrupt it for a phone ringing. Fine. Show starts, right? You knew it was going to happen. Ring, ring, ring. It was the general manager's phone.
Of the theater, I hope.
Of this radio station.
Ooh, I wouldn't have told that story.
I would. Anita, you're on WGN. Hi, Anita. How are you?
Hi, fine, thanks.
What happened?
So, I have triplet boys, and when they weren't quite a year old, my husband and I had taken them to church. And they were being kind of fussy. We had sat in the back, and they were being kind of fussy. And we were just trying to keep them quiet, but they were youngsters. And the priest actually stopped in the middle of his sermon and made a comment about my kids making noise. My husband scooped them up, and I scooped one up, and we left, and we never went back.
Yeah, that's five less people getting the gospel of the Lord.
Right. Well, we go to a different church now, but... I was just shocked that he stopped to point out the fact that my kids were, like, being fussy.
How old were the kids at the time?
They weren't quite a year. I'm going to say maybe 8 months, 9 months old.
Well, what do you think? I mean, so how disruptive were your kids being?
They weren't being terrible. I mean, they were, I don't know, we were probably feeding them snacks or something, and they weren't getting it fast enough for their liking, so they would, like, whine or make a noise or whatever, and he just made a comment about it, and my husband was very angry that he called attention to us. But there was no crying room. You know, some churches,
right,
they have, like, a crying room.
Right.
We did not have that at that church.
Very interesting.
So, yeah. So we just left.
Anita, thanks for the call.
No problem. Have a great day.
Have a good day. My best to your triplet boys. How much fun is that? I am a uncle of triplets, and it is fun. We're going next to line three, says Elif. Elif says, Mary, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, John Williams. I'm excited to talk to you. But,
I'm glad you called.
We were at the concert on Saturday night. We were on the main floor, but we were in the last row.
Oh, at the CSO.
What I think actually happened was, you know, there's six bass pit players, and it looked like one of the bass players, like his bass kind of slipped off, and it made a loud noise. That's what we thought happened. And my husband actually saw that his bass kind of slipped off, yet he turned around and said to all of us, you know, they are trying so hard, so I don't know why. I couldn't have heard a cough from the last row, but I definitely heard a very loud noise, you know, from in the last row. And it was, my husband saw the bassist, you know, come little slip. And then here's the interesting part.
Oh, wait, but so I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. So was he suggesting that the cough threw the bass player off his rhythm?
Oh, maybe that could have been it.
I don't know. I wasn't there. I mean, I'm wondering what the bass player's problem has to do with the cough.
I didn't hear the cough, but it was the loud noise that we heard. We assumed, I don't know how it was connected, but he definitely turned around, and we were like, well, maybe, I was thinking maybe he didn't see that the bass player slipped off and made a loud noise, that he was blaming the audience. That's what we thought.
What did the audience do? Okay, keep going.
What was interesting, after that, there was intermission, and during intermission, all the musicians were gone except for this bass player, and he was sitting there and practicing.
Trying to.
Punishment. Now you sit there, Mr. Bass.
I felt very sorry for him,
yeah.
And my husband, I wonder if he'll get fired. I don't, but obviously, maybe somebody coughed and it made him have his, you know, bass fall off the platform or something.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, wow. that's pretty.
I felt very shamed, and I felt, I got, you know, the whole audience was a hush.
Oh, the poor guy.
And he turned around. Muti is a very, you know, prominent, you know, very wonderful figure of a man up there. But when he turned around, I was a little afraid, even in the last row.
But your read on Muti turning around and looking at the crowd was that he was mad at somebody in the crowd, right?
We didn't get it. We just thought he didn't see that the bass player made the noise, and that's what we were wondering. Finds out, uh-oh. And then, like I said, the bass player was the only musician on stage looking like he was, you know, practicing whatever.
In timeout.
Timeout.
CSO timeout. Right. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
thanks
the other musicians got to get a drink of water, but he was,
They went back for their chocolate milk.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. We got news coming up here in a couple of minutes. We're watching the markets. Producer Elif, where are the markets now?
The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 339.53 points at 24,241.36 points, John.
So we recaptured 100 then.
The Dow is down 1.38%, John.
Yeah, it was 1.7. And you know what? I think Steve was saying that the one that's really most problematic was down 2.7% was the NASDAQ. Let's get that number in a minute, too. Ro and Anna just strolled into the studio. Hi, campers.
Hello.
Hi there, John.
I'm not normally, I don't normally pay that much attention to Sarah Sanders' White House press briefings, but this is the first one they've given in a week.
And she made a statement right off the top.
What personal did
she
say
about
this?
Personal statement right off the top.
Oh, about the restaurant?
About the restaurant, and saying that Americans, you know, of all political stripes shouldn't be denied service. Based on who they work for, or you know what they do. Yeah, okay. So,
all right. And then did anybody say, well, then is it okay if we don't give cakes to gay people because of who they are. We deny service to them. Did that come up then?
That did not come up. Not as of our listening.
No, not yet.
I mean, if you want to dip in here, you might. Maybe she's taking that exact question, but I don't know that that it did.
Amount of their operations to Europe because of...
No, they're talking about trade there. No,
Harley, mm-hmm. Harley
yeah.
Davidson.
Yeah, how about that?
It does seem that... listen, I think it's what's the word I'm looking for? Bull poop move by the restaurant to throw her out. I think it was a bull poop move by the people who didn't want to, you know, serve the wedding cake. You know, I think it's just... we should be in a live and let live kind of a moment here, and especially these people. You know, I didn't like the fact that Kristen Nielsen was being shouted down at a Mexican restaurant. The irony of that is kind of crazy, right? But I mean, let's just pull it down here.
If I had a hunkering for Mexican food that night, that would have been the night I'd deny myself.
You'd say, hey, burrito, we'll wait for another day.
Yeah. We're eating Chinese, kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I do think, Steve Bertrand, have you met him?
I have.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Within the last hour, he had a very good suggestion about this, I thought.
What was that?
Which was that she should have brought the staff out and go, hey, I just want you to meet our staff. Although many of them would probably go, I don't need this trouble right now.
Well, they say they have several LGBTQ people on staff. They have several immigrants and people who say they're deeply offended by the president's policies, and that might have been a good way to handle this, a conversation.
Right, even. We made your dinner. We just want you to know that, you know, we're hardworking Americans too, or we're hardworking for America if they're, you know, on a green card or whatever the case may be. I-9.
What are you guys doing today?
All right, so Demetrius Ivory is going to join us. He's going to take a victory lap where Tom Skilling could not. We'll be discussing Tom Skilling, though, coming up a little bit later on, because he's on a very secret mission right now.
Secret agent mission, like
secret
007
mission,
style?
He's going to reveal it with us coming up a little bit later on.
He spotted an asteroid that's hurtling toward Earth.
And they're shooting him up there to land on it and to take it, to divert it in a different direction. I love that movie. David Axelrod will also be here. He's on the same page, I think, that most Americans are with this, too. He doesn't like the idea that people get denied service based on who they're working for. So we will talk to him coming up in this hour as well.
Have a terrific program. Nice to see you guys.
John.